Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, I'll bet that many of you out there enjoy playing board games and card games, but sometimes you'll find that they're not as accessible as you'd like them to be. Well, this week we'll talk about an online resource that enables you to play these games in an accessible fashion, either alone or with friends, or even meeting new friends and connecting with other people.
We'll speak with Michael Forzano, one of the founders and lead developers of RS Games, about how it works and how you can participate. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is use the search tool on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net to find related episodes or an episode about any other topic of interest from the complete archives that's now over 230 episodes and growing every week. Here's an example from a show that's almost 4 years old that I was able to find using the search tool.
So that was a toy that we had from a long time ago and had a lot of fun with when our kids were growing up. Can you tell people what it is in case they don't recognize it?
That's Bop It. It's a piece of plastic with stuff attached, and whatever it tells you to do, whether it's pull it or twist it, there's a place where you're supposed to pull or twist, and this is a commercially available game that's accessible to the blind right out of the box, which was one of the reasons we enjoyed it so much.
And so now you mentioned that we have an archive of over 230 shows, and that's got to be hard to browse by hand, just scanning through show by show by show by show. But that's obviously not what you did. How did you find that show?
Well, Pete wrote us a search tool, and it appears very close to the top of both our homepage and the page that lists all the shows, and there's an edit field into which you can type a keyword or an episode number or the name of a person or a company and search for any episode that includes that word or that phrase. And so I entered the term games and I came up with this show, number 1135, on blind-friendly games and toys. But I also got an earlier show in which we talked a little bit about accessible games and another show in which we talked about participating in the Paralympic Games. And so it wasn't exactly the same topic, but it sure was related. And if you're interested in games, you'd probably be interested in that too.
And again, when those search results come up, you'll get direct links to the audio and the show notes so you can listen to those episodes right in your browser. And you can try other search terms like sports, employment, education, science, and much more, and you'll find shows related to many of those topics.
Screen readers, magnifiers, all sorts of stuff.
The list goes on and on.
So we will be talking today about digital games that you can play online, but if you like that kind of game, you might be interested in physical games. And in the show notes for this episode, we will have links to many places where you can obtain accessible physical games, including the National Braille Press, MaxiAids, LS&S Group, and Independent Living Aids.
So that's another great resource also is to check out the show notes. We always put all of the contact information and links to other resources in the show notes so you can find them easily and you don't have to fuss with listening to the audio, rewinding, and trying to find where that information was in the actual show.
Let's start by meeting Michael Forzano.
So my name is Michael Forzano, and I am one of the co-founders of RS Games.
Does RS have a significance?
Yes, it's actually named after Ryan Smith, who is the other co-founder. So I know it's not super original, but when we started it, he had already started the company and released a couple of games on his own before I joined up with him. And it was well known enough in the community that we decided to just keep the name RS Games.
And maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you've been blind since birth, I take it.
Yes, I've been blind since birth. I'm totally blind. I don't have any light perception, even. I've always been completely blind my entire life.
And were you mainstreamed in school?
Yes. Went to public school, graduated high school, and went to Binghamton University, where I got my degree in computer science.
And that's how you got into your current position at Amazon, I take it.
Yes, I am a software developer at Amazon. I work on the Amazon trade-in program, where you can trade in your old items to Amazon for a gift card.
Well, that must be a lot of fun.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is RS Games and the online games they've developed.
Let's talk a little bit about the RS Games project that you're involved in now. Can you tell us a little bit about how it got started and when?
Sure. So we started RS Games back in 2009. The way that the idea came about was I was playing Jim Kitchen's Monopoly, which is an accessible version of Monopoly that you download onto your computer and you can just play against the computer or another player who's in the same room. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if we could have an online version where you could play against your friends or people from all over the world? And I've been programming for a couple of years by that point, and I was decided to, you know, team up with a couple of friends and, you know, give it a shot. So we developed Monopoly. It took, I would say, about 6 months to come up with the first version. And we released it in December 2009, and it was really, really popular, like, very quickly. And that just really surprised us. We were not expecting anything out of it. Like, it was just totally way more popular than we expected. It's pretty much spread over Twitter, and, you know, people were telling their friends about it, and it was just great. It was just really exciting to be able to release something that people were enjoying so much and to actually make this idea that I had, you know, come into reality. It was just great.
So that's really neat. You were just involved in this because you enjoyed programming and enjoyed games, and you developed something that was very interesting for yourself, and all of a sudden this exploded in popularity.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I used to play a lot of audio games back in the day, and I've always wanted to make games. And, you know, I didn't know how to program at the time, and, you know, started running when I was about 15. And, you know, just making games was just something that I was really interested in and always wanted to do. And, you know, RS Games was the first really big, awesome idea that I had, and it was great. I was able to do it.
So I've always thought those made the best programmers, people who learned on their own, because you had to face those hurdles and overcome obstacles and just really learn the guts of programming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some of the first projects I worked on were not that great. I made a game called Chopper Challenge, where all you really did was just move back and forth and fire a laser at a helicopter. Really basic, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, I wasn't taking any computer science classes at the time. I just learned on my own, and just because it was something that I thought was really cool, being able to write programs and build things.
So since your first online game became so popular and there seemed to be a lot of interest, I take it this venture expanded quite a bit over time. Can you talk a little about that?
Sure. So after we released Monopoly, you know, we had the idea, like, could we expand this? It was originally designed as just a Monopoly game, but we're wondering, you know, could we turn it into a platform where we can have multiple games? And, you know, I had this idea of how we could do it. And, you know, we rewrote the entire client program. You know, we rebuilt this idea of how we could expand the protocol to support multiple games. And, you know, we're working on that throughout 2010. And we built the second game that we had, which was Uno. And in September 2010, we launched that. And, you know, since then, we've expanded. You know, we have 16 games now. So just become really easy for us to add new games the way we designed it. The players don't even have to re-download the client program when we release a new game, since it just automatically downloads the sound and all the logic is handled on the server side. So, you know, I think this is the first of its kind, at least as far as games for blind. And, you know, it's just become even more popular since, we expanded past Monopoly, since obviously players like different games and different styles of games.
What are some of the other games? You said you have a total of 16 now?
So yeah, we have Monopoly, Uno, obviously Blackjack, Yahtzee, 1,000 Miles, which is like a racing sort of game where you play different cards to, you know, move different distances and whatnot. Battleship, Shut the Box, Apples to Apples. We just actually launched Cards Against Humanity as well. I know that's a very popular game. Farkle, that's one of our most popular games. Rummy, Bingo, and Toss Up, which is a new one that we launched back in December.
Wow. So this is an enormous variety of games. Some of them like Monopoly or board games, and some of them like Uno or card games. Is that a special challenge to program up each different type of game?
So board and card games is pretty much what our platform can support right now. Since, yeah, Monopoly was the first game that we did that was a board game, and card games are pretty simple as well. So, you know, sometimes we get suggestions from players like, oh, could you add like a racing game or a football game or whatever? We can't really do that with this platform. So it has to pretty much stick to board and card games.
But it sounds like you developed an interesting infrastructure to support these games. You basically developed an online interface so people play these games online, but you don't have to write each game from scratch. You just have to make sure it interfaces properly with the program that runs on your server, right?
Sure. So the way the infrastructure works is that there are basically different messages that the server will send to the client program, which is the program that players install on their computers. For example, it'll send a message to play a message through the screen reader, or display a list of options, or play a sound, or, you know, add a key binding. So, for example, if in Uno you press the S key to hear the score, you know, we can control all that from the server side. We just have that message sent to the client saying, make the S key send this particular thing to the server, and then the server will respond back with the score. So things like that, and we have that all set up on the server. So if that is really easy when we're programming, we just, you know, call different functions to do these things. So when we're making a new game, we're just focusing on the game logic and not so much the infrastructure.
Just out of curiosity, what language are these interfaces and games written in?
The client is written in Python, and the server is written in something called Moo, MUD Object Oriented. It's really kind of an older server that was designed for MUDs, which are basically like text-based games. But when we started developing RS Games, you know, I knew a lot about it because I'd played around with it for other projects. And it was probably not the best choice. You know, if we were doing it again, we wouldn't use it because it has a lot of limitations. But considering that, you know, we have it running pretty well, and we just don't have the time right now to rewrite the entire thing from scratch. So
I gather when you got started, you were undergraduates and now you've got full-time jobs.
Right. Yeah, I was a freshman in college when I started, so I know a lot more now than I knew back then, for sure.
Yeah, but you have a lot less free time.
Right. Yeah. I code for a living. I don't really want to come home and code more all the time. I mean, sometimes I'll feel up to writing a new game or, you know, fixing some issues, or but to take on a huge project like redesigning the entire platform from scratch, like, that's what I do for a living. So
it's a lot of work. People don't realize what time goes into developing those codes and infrastructures. Can you explain to us how this works from the user perspective? So if someone gets onto your site, what happens?
Sure. So players who are interested in playing should just head over to rsgames.org, which is our website, and they can download the client program from there. We have a version for Windows, Mac, and Linux. You just pick the version for whatever operating system you're using. You download the client, install it, run it, and you will hear it'll speak through your screen reader. So on Windows, for example, we support JAWS, WindowEyes, NVDA, Dolphin, forget what that one is called, Supernova or something. So all the major screen readers we support. So it'll basically launch into a menu where you can select a couple different options. Since it's your first time playing, you'd probably select create a new account. You then enter in your username that you want to have and your email address. So it'll end up sending you a temporary password that you'll use to log in the first time, then you'll be able to change it. But the interface is all menu-driven mostly. There are also some keyboard commands that you can use, and those are all in our documentation, which you can also access from our website. So once you log in, you're at a list of games, all the games that we offer, and you can just select which one you want to play. And then from there, it's pretty simple. You create a new game or join an existing game. If you create a new one, you can wait for other players to join, or for most of the games, we have computer players that you can add.
Oh, so some of these, if there isn't anybody around, a real person that you want to play with or that's available, you can play against the computer.
Yeah.
You can do it either way.
Yep.
Well, that's nice.
So I understand that you developed these games specifically to be accessible to blind players, but what if the blind player has a sighted friend that they want to play with? Can the sighted friend also access the games?
Yeah, so sighted people can use the web interface that we have. So that's, if you go to rsgames.org, you can click on play using the web client. Basically what that does is it outputs the text that would normally go to the screen reader. It shows it on the screen. Blind people can actually use it too, but unfortunately it's not really that nice of an interface from what I've heard from sighted people who have tried it. It's definitely something that we want to do, like redo the web interface to make it nicer and better looking for sighted players who want to use it.
I'm guessing the complaint of sighted people is that although they get the information, they don't see the pretty pictures that they see on the board in real life.
Yeah, and unfortunately our infrastructure doesn't really support having graphics right now. And it's something that I just don't know anything about, unfortunately. So I don't even know what would be really involved in adding that.
Well, you know, as a sighted person, and I'm used to playing Monopoly, and I can see that Connecticut Avenue has the light blue thing at the top and all that. But really what you've done is you've created a version of Monopoly for the blind, and then you've given the sighted people access to exactly the same game. So the fact that, you know, the sighted people aren't getting the graphics, well, the blind people aren't getting the graphics either, and everybody's playing the same game the same way.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm just glad that sighted people are able to play it in at least a way that's easier for them. I mean, I'm sure most sighted people would not want to use a screen reader, you know, listen to a screen reader voice reading out everything. At least they're able to read the text. I mean, that's definitely a good thing.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
As a sighted person who's been married to a blind person for 32 years, I can confirm that sighted people don't like listening to screen readers.
Yeah.
So just to take Monopoly as an example, because many, many people are familiar with Monopoly. It's been around forever. You wrote the game primarily to have the screen reader interface. So I assume when it's your turn, it'll tell you press some key to roll the dice, and then it'll tell you what number came up, and then you advance by so many spaces, and it tells you where you landed.
It doesn't really tell you so much to press a particular key. So for the web client, so the screen reader would normally say, it is your turn. It would show that text on the screen. It would then show a menu. Roll dice would be one of the options. You'd click on that, and it would show you roll a 6 and a 6. You move 12 spaces. You land on, you know, whatever property you landed on. So it would show all that on the screen. You know, if you're using the actual downloadable client, it would say that through your screen reader. And, you know, it also played a sound effect. So we don't have the sound effects in the web client, unfortunately.
Now, if you want to play against some real people, can you sort of contact these people ahead of time, or you find them by logging in? How does that all work?
So we've had people definitely contact people in advance. You know, RS Games is pretty popular among, you know, blind Twitter users. So, you know, somebody will send out a tweet saying, you know, I have a game open. We actually have a feature in the client where you can connect your Twitter account and, you know, have it send out that tweet through the client rather than having to actually write out the tweet and everything.
So you get a notice of the games that are coming up and people are wanting to play then.
Yeah, or, you know, people contact their friends and set up a game. But if you don't do that, you can literally just create a game and then other people can see the list of open games and just join your game if you have an open game. Or you can get a list of users who are online, and we have a private message feature, so you can message if you there's someone on that you know or whatever, you can send a message to them, be like, hey, I have a game open. We have a private games feature, so you can set a password for the game so that not anyone can just join, only people who know the password can join. So a lot of different ways. I mean, I know that a lot of people have like met each other on RS Games and or just go on RS Games to meet other blind people, which is I think is a great thing.
You said that people could message through this interface. Can they do that while they're playing the game so they can sort of interact while they're playing?
Yes. So as I mentioned, there's the private message feature so you can message anyone who's online, who's on any on the server, like on any game. Like you could be playing Uno and you can message someone who's playing Monopoly. You can also chat with players who are in your game. And we just added a voice chat feature so you can voice chat with people who are in your game, similar to like Team Talk or, you know, a Skype conference. So you just enable the voice chat feature, and any other players who are in your game and have the feature enabled, you know, you can voice chat with them. We just added that back in December.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So it's pretty much mimicking the experience of sitting around a table with a bunch of friends playing the game.
Right. I mean, that was something that I always wanted to add. Like, I mean, sure, you can connect to a Team Talk server, or you can add the players on Skype, but that's, you know, it's a lot more work. Like, you know, you have to exchange Skype IDs or have a Team Talk server or whatnot. You know, I always wanted to make it so that you could, you know, literally just press a button and simulate that experience of sitting around a table with the players that you're playing with. Finally, I was able to find a way to do it. And, you know, we released that in December for our fifth anniversary. So
that sounds very turnkey and easy to use. Just sign up with your email address and download the interface software and you're ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, we've always, you know, tried to do what we can to make the interface really easy to use and, you know, just eliminating any kind of friction and just being able to just play.
Well, that just sounds like so much fun and a great way to have fun with other people if you can't get to each other physically. Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about RS Games and the games they provide, how to contact them, how to get started playing, and how to get involved maintaining the current games and creating new ones.
So you did mention your web address previously, but maybe you can remind our listeners, if they really want to get involved after hearing how wonderful this is, where to go to find out more information.
Sure. So to find out more information about RS Games, you can go to our website, rsgames.org. From there, you're able to download the client and register and play. Our email address is rsgames@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you know, have any difficulty with running the client or registering, you know, we're happy to help with that. Do keep in mind that, you know, we're all working or in school, so, you know, we don't always have time to respond immediately, but, you know, we try to make sure that we get to all of our emails in a reasonable time. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter is RS_games. And, you know, there we post any announcements and, you know, new releases. Like, definitely follow, if you're on Twitter, follow that to keep up with the latest goings on at RS Games. And we're on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/RSGames1 is our Facebook page.
And that's the numeral one. How many registered users do you have?
So we have just over 19,000 registered accounts. This includes, you know, people who have never connected or people who haven't played in years. So we don't know how many of those actually are unique people or, you know, people who are actually active. But we do know that we have about 3,000 active users a month, which is pretty awesome, I think. And anywhere from 40 to 100 people online at any given time.
Is there a limit to how many people can be actively playing at the same time, or how many different games can be going on at the same time?
There's no actual limit, but if there were a lot of people on, you know, the server would start to. That's one of the limitations of the Move server that we're using, is that when we did our connection records, 175 people online at once, and the server was kind of lagging a lot when that happened, unfortunately. But there's no actual enforced limit. I mean, theoretically, hundreds of people could be on if the server can handle it.
Do you charge for registering or for playing, or is this all free to anybody who wants to use it?
The games are all free to anyone who wants to use it. We have advertisements, so if people want to post an advertisement, it's $15 a month. That helps with paying for the server and everything, but we don't charge to play.
How many people are actually involved in running this and making new games these days?
So we have myself, Ryan Smith, who's the other co-founder, Jason Smith. They're not related, but he also helps with making new games. So just the three of us programmers. We have a couple of other administrators as well, and we have some moderators who, you know, deal with making sure everything's... So we have like a feature where if you're having an issue with another user, you know, another user's causing problems, you can report them to the moderators, and the moderators look into it to make sure that everything's going fine and all of our players are following our rules. You know, we like to keep it like a family-friendly environment.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Are you looking for additional contributors at times?
I would say the thing that we could most use is other programmers, since all of us are kind of pretty busy at this point and don't really have time, as much time as we used to add new games. But yeah, it's kind of difficult to find other programmers, and we haven't really had that much luck with that. So if you're a programmer and you want to help us out, that'd be totally awesome.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun for people and must be a very rewarding project to be working on.
It really is. I mean, that's like the thrill for me, you know, as a developer, is watching it grow and watching it make a difference for people.
So if you missed it in the audio, all of that contact information, along with links to other resources for games that are accessible, can be found in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1529. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about accessible games for iOS devices. Today, we were talking about games you play online, either alone or with others. These are going to be games that you play on your personal iOS device. We will be talking with Judy Dixon, the editor and a co-author of a recently published book entitled Anyone Can Play: Accessible Games for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. And she will touch on accessible app versions of word games, board and card games, role-playing and adventure games, and much more. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.